Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, I usually start these sermons off these past couple of weeks with the question, so I'm going to ask you all another question. How do you see God? What do you picture him as? Well, if you're like me, the first image that immediately pops in your mind when you think of God is a man wearing white robes, a little bit older, with a long, flowing white beard. You know, like that pictures that you can see in God in almost every painting in history, with Michelangelo, with so many others. It's a very common image to see God, like an old man with a long white beard. Someone grandfatherly, someone nice. Or do you picture God, as we often do in this Christmas season, as a little baby surrounded by a loving father and a loving mother, surrounded by a nice, well-kept and clean stable with all well-groomed wise men and shepherds all around him? It's a wonderful scene, and it's been painted so many times. Or how about any images of paintings that we have seen or sculptures of Jesus or God? I mean, you can go just click on Google and see images of God, and you're going to get a lot of different pictures. And it's no wonder that this happens. We as humans have always wanted to know what God looks like, to see who God is. This was no different than in the time of Isaiah. We have this very strange reading for today in the Old Testament. We hear about a guy called King Ahaz. He wanted a sign from God. And what that sign was, it was what was going to happen. And God said, I'm going to give you a sign. But Ahaz said, I don't want that one. I don't want a sign from you. And so, God said, I'll give you a sign anyway. And we know this to be the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. But why was this important? Obviously, this is important because there's that prophecy. But it's important for another reason. During this time in Israel's history, people were making images of God. They were actually forming things of what God would look like. They were forming them from wood or brass or gold. But they were worshiping them as well. Isaiah actually gets to the point and is actually very cynical and mean about this to the people who are doing this. I'll read from you from the book of Isaiah. This is him in regards to a woodcutter as he makes his gods. He cuts down cedars, or he chooses a cypress tree, or an oak, and lets it grow strong among the trees of the forest. He plants a cedar, and the rain nourishes it. Then it becomes fuel for a man. He takes a part of it, and he warms himself. He kindles a fire and bakes his bread. Also, he makes a god and worships it. He makes it an idol and falls down before it. Half of it he burns in the fire. Over that half he eats meat. He roasts it and is satisfied. He also says to himself, aha, I am now warm. I have seen the fire. And for the rest of the wood, he makes into a god, his idol, and falls down to worship it. He prays to it and says, deliver me, for you are my God. This image of God that was made was laughable for Isaiah. It almost kind of seems strange. Why would you go bow down to something that you can make of your own hands? I mean, literally what Isaiah was saying here was, it's kind of dumb for a guy to cut down a cedar tree, use half of it to make stuff, cook with it, warm himself with it, and from that exact same tree that he does all those mundane things, he carves himself an image of God and worships it. Now, it might seem strange to all of you hearing this on Christmas Eve. I mean, I don't think any of us are going to go out and cut down a pine tree and worship it, or make a image of God or some other creature and bow down and worship it. But there's a point here. People have always tried to make an image of God, to rationalize God, to kind of form in their heads something that is concrete, that they can put their hands around and say, I know this is right, and I have control over what I believe. I have control over what I see, over what I do, on how I worship it, and it is on my hands. Now, we might not do that with making idols today out of wood, gold, or brass, or even stone. But we have that same trait within us. For you see, my brothers and sisters in Christ, we here on earth are limited. God himself is limitless. And it has always been in the inclination of us to try to make something that is limitless, limited. For we always try to make God into something that we can understand and control. Like I said, we might not do this with making carved images or paintings and worshiping it. But we do it in other ways. We see God as maybe a person who just kills our fun. We're Christians and we know we have all of these rules we have to follow. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. I'm not going to lie, it's hard. Sometimes almost a pain to do all of that. How hard is it sometimes to say that, okay, I've got to wake up at a very early morning, go to church, I really don't want to, but I'm going to. I really wish I didn't have to, though. Or how easy to say is, I'm just not going to follow those rules. It'd be so much easier for us if I didn't have to tell the truth all the time. Maybe lie a little bit here and there. It's not that bad, right? Of course, then I can't do what I want, though. I can't go out and go sleep in every Sunday if I wanted to. Couldn't go out with my friends and drink and be happy until I can't remember what happened the next morning. I gotta follow those rules. And suddenly God just becomes a party pooper. Or how about when God is always on your side? When you say to yourself, I'm okay, I'm a Christian, I'm beloved by God, I can go out and I can do whatever I want, I can go out and stay and go with my friends and drink and be merry, not what happened in the morning. Remember what happened in the morning? Because I'm forgiven by God. And so suddenly God becomes someone who's okay with whatever you want. Well, that's wrong. That's turning God into something that he isn't, making him rational to our belief systems, making him limited, making him like us. And so God becomes nothing more than an idol, a false god who we worship, who is bound to our will and bound to us here on earth. And it's hard. Because if these two gods exist, one who is either a party pooper who condemns and lets you have absolutely no leeway or say, well, then it didn't even matter if Jesus came down from heaven. Because God already had a plan where you were condemned and you were judged. That was it. You're done. What if the God that you is okay with whatever you want to do is okay with anything that happens? Well, then Jesus didn't have to come down from heaven and die. Because you're already good with God. You see, as soon as we turn God into something that he isn't, as soon as we try to make him limited and make him rational to us, he doesn't become God anymore. And we lose what is important in this season and in every season. But then the question becomes, okay, so I can't make God and I can't even fathom what he looks like. Because he's limitless. I can't fathom what he's going to do or how he works in this world because I can't even conceive of what he does. For he can do anything. And he can do anything that he wishes. How can I even rationalize that if I can't even bring him down to my level? My fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, this is what we celebrate this season. See, we have the promise that Isaiah gives. And the virgin shall conceive and bear forth a son. And you will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. We don't have to wonder what God is like, or what he looks like, or what he's supposedly supposed to do in this world. Because we as Christians can point to Jesus. We can point even to his birth. We know who God is. He's like us in many us. For he who is limitless, who made the heavens and the earth, whose very word spoke and the ground came, who formed us with his hands, he decided to become limited for us. So limited, in fact, that he was born a baby. He did every single thing that a child at that age does. He cried, he was hungry, he had a full diaper. His mom had to change him. I mean, just imagine that for a second. This is the same God who created the world, and Mary changes his full diaper. It's impossible to rationalize, impossible to think, and yet God did it. He became a child for us. He who was limitless became limited for us. And even in that, though, his power was still there. For if you want to know how God deals with his people on earth, how he deals with everyone, look no further to Christ and what he did while he was upon this earth. He preached and he said, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent." He goes out. And if you want to see how he cares for his people, how God cares, look no further to what Christ did. He went to the sick and he healed them with his boundless power. If you want to see how powerful God is, look no further to Christ as he walked across the stormy waters if they were just dry land, as he calmed the storm and he said, "Be silent." For this is a God who has power. If you want to know how God is compassionate to his people, look no further to how Christ was to little children and said, "Let the little children come to me, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." And if you want to look how much God loved us, how much he cares for us, look no farther than to Christ, who died for us, who died for a people who would scorn him and hate him, for a people who would continually sin and break God's laws, for a people who were so angry with him and bitter that they portrayed him and they put him on a cross. In that anger, God could have destroyed all of humanity at that very moment for putting his son on the cross, for putting our God to death. But instead, Jesus says these words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." If you want to see love, look no farther than that. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, so that anyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. This is our God. This is our Christ, who we can say with perfect certainty when we want to see who God is and how he works in this world, we look no further than Christ. Because if we want to know what God has in store for us after we die, look no further to Christ as he was raised from the dead 3 days after he died, who was given life by God, who put death to dead and beat all forms of sin and punishment here on earth. And if you want to know what Christ wants for us in today's age, look no further to the last words that he says in the Gospel of Matthew. "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is our God. This is Jesus, whom we celebrate his birth today. He is the Christ who came down from on heaven. He is God dwelling with us. We remember that today. We remember that in the new year. In this new year, then, when we might wonder where God is, what is he doing with us? What is he planning in this crazy time of 2018, 2019, and even into the future? Remember Christ. Remember on Christmas that he who was limitless became limited for us, so much so that he took on human flesh. and was became a baby. If you ever wonder, how is he going to care for me in this new year? Look to what he did for his people while on earth. He cared for them, cured them of their sick, forgave their sins. If you want to look to how much he loves you, look no further than the cross to know that he died for you, for the sake of everyone, for he loves you. And not because of anything that you did, because of his great mercy that he gave. And if you ever wonder what is the next life going to be like, or if my loved ones die, and you don't know what's going to happen, you look forward to what he did in the resurrection, that he promises that he will come again, and that there will be no more death, and that he will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And if you want to know what to do in the next year, how to keep his commandments and how to work with people around him, remember his last words, and go and spread his message of love. For this is our God, who loved us so much that he became a child. This is our God. He is Emmanuel, Jesus Christ, God with us. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, be in your hearts and your minds this day and all days, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.